from Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in Mystery, Minneapolis. This is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Stephen McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Martha Croy. I too make nice games.
For this week's episode, it's another Nice Games Jam. We've just been given a prompt, and we're going to try to come up with a complete game that you can play by the end of the episode. Will it work? We and you are about to find out. And so, if everyone is ready, let's start.
All right, let me hear you say mystery one more time.
Mystery.
Okay.
Nice. I feel like
I do a little flourish with my hand when I say it.
I can hear
listeners
that,
can tell.
Actually.
Yeah.
I think we need to clip that out and so we can use it as a, like, just put it in wherever we need it. Yeah. Mystery.
Okay. Dale sent me the prompt.
Yep.
An hour ago.
Wait.
Oh.
I just want to say, It has been since March this year since we've done our jam. And I am so pumped.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah. This will be hype. This will be hype.
Yeah, we use the Nice Games Jam to, like, plug holes in the schedule because it does a good job of that. But, like, which means there can be times when we don't do them for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, is that something we should fix?
No, I think it builds anticipation.
Okay.
All right, sure. That makes sense to me. Should I read the prompt out? Y'all ready?
Yes, I'm so ready. Okay. I'm very excited.
All right, let's do it. Game Jam prompt: design a racing game in a historical setting.
Ooh.
Oh my god,
that's really good. Wow. Okay, first thought: this is a game design document.
We're
not making a board game.
Oh yeah, it'd be.
I don't know, unless you guys think otherwise.
So there are racing game board games. But yep. I've never played them, so I have no idea how they work. So I'm cool with it being a game design document.
I think we'll have more fun probably.
Yeah, okay.
But racing board games are cool too. Yeah.
I kind of want to do a board game because it seems harder to do.
Oh,
okay. You're gonna challenge us.
Okay.
Yeah.
You haven't done it in 3 months, but you wanna challenge us. Okay.
I believe in us.
All right. That makes one of us.
Okay.
No, I think we'll be fine. Okay, so yeah, historical setting is an interesting specific premise to this.
Yeah, that might have been why I was thinking it was a design document, because maybe it'd be easier to leverage.
Yeah. So the board games I do know that are like racing games, they've used like, well, they're based around like F1 racing or whatever. And then there's the Grand Prix racing and stuff. I don't know a lot about racing stuff. they're not quite historical settings, I suppose. Historical, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Like F1 racing's been around for a while.
Sure.
But it's like modern. I think when Dale's talking about historical settings, we're talking about like, well, I immediately thought of carriages or horses.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could do a racing game that's set in like the 60s or something.
Right.
There's been a bunch of car movies in the last couple of years that are all set mid-century.
Yeah.
Because that's like the time of the motor. I don't know. you know.
That's the name of the game.
Before they made everyone wear seatbelts, frankly.
Yeah. Time of the motor.
So, you know, that's still an option. Uh-huh. If you wanted it to be sport racing.
Yeah.
I don't particularly.
Sure. That's fair.
But I also don't. Maybe it's because I don't. The sort of Victorian or colonial America horses and carriage on a muddy boulevard.
Yeah.
That does not excite me either.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Well, are we gonna figure out, we should maybe figure out settings first and then figure out mechanics? Is that how we're thinking?
I don't have a preference, so I'm happy to go that route.
Okay. I just pulled up, I haven't played this game much, but my sister gave it to me as a gift, and it's called Camel Up.
Uh-huh.
So we might go back and look at that for mechanic like inspiration.
Okay.
But I think that we will get more out of it and be able to make it more of our own if we think of a setting first.
Okay.
Because then that'll force us to think of differences. Even if we go out and look at other games for inspiration, we'll still have an anchor that'll be our own.
That'll be a good first pillar, is like, this is the setting.
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
We could do okay. like,
I'm for that.
Old school Ford Model Ts or whatever, you know, like that could be historical enough feeling.
I've watched enough Downton Abbey in the later seasons to know that that was a thing.
Oh, was it?
Early pre assembly line cars, it was very much a rich person's plaything,
sure,
kind of vibe. And so there was a lot of, because that was the leisure class.
Oh, actually,
there was a lot of the kind of like sense. Go out and race.
Okay,
that became one of the few reasons to have a car.
Okay.
In that time.
Oh, okay, that. Well, that's kind of interesting. I mean, that makes it less exciting for me if that was actually a thing. But like, it also makes sense from an historical setting for this to exist.
Also,
it's not really like
all I want to do is have it be raided by Irish Republicans or communists because I don't like that. I don't want to make a game that stars the bourgeoisie. Like,
yeah, that's really absolutely.
That's actually something I wanted to ask about though, because like, and I'm thinking about like different things that are raced, like cars are racing. Cars is cool,
right?
Yeah. I think it's cool. Like racing motorcycles is cool. There's lots of different ways to race cars and race motorcycles, and basically, if there's a way to move, people have figured out a way to race it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can make this a power walking game.
Right? That would be hilarious.
You know,
that would be matchstick cars or something. You know.
Yeah.
But like immediately, for some reason, what came to mind was like, oh, we could do animal racing. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure if I want to do that. Like, I don't want to do dog racing. I don't really want to do horse racing around a track. Maybe like endurance racing across the country with a horse, but that's still kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, this hits my two buttons of I don't wanna, which is cars and animals as conveyance. Those are two things I have like a real problem with. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to find a way around it and still get excited about a theme.
Sailing?
Oh, boats.
Boats.
Still. Kind of, I don't want anyone to be wearing a cravat. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the
sure.
And I'm also not that interested in like a heavy satire, which is the way you'd make me do it.
Right.
You want to be earnest.
Yeah.
What about?
I'm putting way too many fences around this. And so please, if you have something that you really want to do,
I mean, honestly, I am in agreement.
Okay.
In your position, so that's why. Yeah. And that's part of why this is an interesting premise because we're having a hard time from almost.
What's the setting?
Yeah. From that perspective,
the thing that's interesting, I think it's fine for us to spend a few minutes out of our hour long.
Yeah, it's our
podcast.
Hour. We can do what we
want. To explore the fences and.
Right, Ellen's not watching the clock.
No, I forgot to start the timer. So whatever.
Throws it on the ground.
It's a new day.
It really is.
Hey, man, I drove 2 hours to be here.
Time is an illusion.
What's another 90 minutes?
Nice Games Club. Nice Games Jam XL, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we decided like traditional animal racing is weird.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We also don't necessarily want to race cars.
Yes.
But we could race like... There are lots of other things that people could race. Like we could do silly animal racing, like tortoises. Although we can also just say no animals. I think that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Olympics
that people race against each other.
Yeah, I think for me, if it's animals, they should be anthropomorphized.
Okay.
So it's not they don't have handlers.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Again, that's my hang up. We could do cars. I think the thing that probably maybe we're all not that excited about is like the NASCAR, Formula One, the motorsport.
Right.
But, you know, we could do something on four wheels and make our own thing for it. That's not, you know, I don't know. But I also like the idea of us coming up with something, a real interesting take on this. So these constraints might help
Ellen
us.
Has a take.
Sense.
Ellen has a take.
Old timey bicycles.
Oh, yeah.
Penny farthings, that sort of thing.
Like the ones with the huge wheel in the front and the tiny wheel in the back.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there is a period of time.
Uh-huh.
It was called the bicycle craze.
Oh.
Where basically there was op-eds about how like it was dangerous and like that it was thought of as a fad, like of young people getting on bicycles.
Those crazy folks.
And of course, naturally, it was in an era as if there aren't any ears that are not this, where it was seen as like corrupting to women because it gave them freedoms.
Ah,
I'm all for that. Let's make a game about racing old timey bicycles.
That's great. Okay.
Can we make it a game about rowdy women of history racing bicycles?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, all right.
Suffragettes on wheels.
Suffragettes on wheels. Yeah.
I love it.
All right, I'm going to do a little bit of looking.
Okay.
Because I think this is late 19th century, but it might be... No, it's probably earlier than that.
Okay.
Ellen, you had challenged us to make a board game out of this. Do you still want to make a board game?
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
That's a really good question because before I had this really strong image of a character riding a bicycle in my head.
Yeah.
And now I have a really strong, and that would have been fine for a board game where it's more about like the like manual manipulation of these racing mechanics. But now I have this really strong image of a woman like in Edwardian attire. I'm not sure if that's the right era or not, but it's probably not. But she's in very fluffy stuff and she's like on the silly bike. And then like elbowing her competition, like throwing her hat or something. It sounds amazing.
Okay.
Okay.
I've got it. Yeah. All right. So we'll link this Wikipedia article because it's called A Bike Boom. So bike boom or bicycle craze is any of several specific historic periods. So Ellen, you and I are both right. So one of these periods is early 19th century, 1819. One is mid to late 19th century, and then another still in the 1890s, the very end of the century. Okay. And then the next one, then there's mid-century, 20th century, and then we are currently, according to this Wikipedia article, I don't know what authority has decided this, but we are currently in a bike boom.
Oh.
So why don't we have a game that walks you through each of these eras?
Oh, fun!
Oh, I love so that idea.
And then everyone is a little different.
Yeah.
And maybe even your goals, what you're racing for is a little different. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we can have, you know, the precursor, the velopede or whatever it was, where there were no pedals. You just skated along and pushed on your feet.
Oh.
There's the penny farthings, which was seen as essentially, they're ridiculous, but they're very mechanically efficient in an era before gears.
Yeah.
Then there was the safety bicycle, which is a big movement.
Okay.
And then, you know, geared bicycles in the 20th century, and then e-bikes. And so this, we can do a whole thing.
Huh.
And this is hitting all of my buttons.
Yeah,
like, I'm loving all of this.
We just need to find the right vehicle for
urbanism, industrial progress, bicycles. Those are like my three favorite things.
Remove the two wheels and we're on point. okay. How do we go about, like when you said like you go throughout time, immediately my thought was upgrade to the different cars.
Right.
But so, I don't know that we want to do that.
Well, think of it like maybe if we treat it a little bit like Civilization, where each player starts with, you know, the precursor and independently updates to the e-bike, but it's still one board or one course or whatever.
Sure.
Rather than having like different things.
Different tracks. Okay.
That might simplify a little bit and it might make it a little more abstract. And that's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could have it where there are different legs of the match or something, or different boards.
And they just work.
And it could be a campaign game even.
I think I do want it to be a board game.
Okay.
Because the idea, like the fun stuff we could have with the illustrations and the materials and everything.
Yeah.
Like I love the idea of like pulling out a deck of cards with all these different bikes or something like that. And they all look absolutely whack. And like, but they were all real bikes.
Yeah.
Like everything we put in the game is a real example of a real bike that was made.
I think that's what makes this really interesting as a board game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like as a board game theme.
Yeah.
Whereas
a
video game theme would still be great, but it wouldn't be as interesting.
It wouldn't be as interesting.
Yeah. I mentioned Civilization just as a mechanical, each player is progressing independently.
Yes. I think that would also, the progression that you described would also work well in a board game.
Yeah.
There's like maybe some building phases and then some racing phases.
Yeah. Civilization is just a board game with a computer. So like, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you brought up cards. Did you have like any ideas with respect to that? Or you just want cards with bikes on?
I have no idea. It just pops into my head as a very like an image of with cards.
Sure.
There's a bike on it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that. I mean,
it was interesting and it made my brain think and then it lost the thought. So I don't know where it is now, but I kind of want to progress on that a little bit further.
Okay.
Okay. Cards, bikes are on all the cards. I guess all of the bikes have different stats. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know my work.
Okay.
I mean, you're going to like this, Steven, because it involves lots of number crunching.
I love it. Already.
Should I get a spreadsheet out?
You might need one. Yeah. So if you kind of create your character.
Yeah.
And your character has properties. And then those properties are conducive to this era, this bike boom or that bike boom.
Oh.
And so as you... Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
a little bit more RPG-ish,
sure.
In a sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's way crunchier than a board game I would normally play, but it might work.
Okay.
And these can be very conceptual. So it could be that if your character is a woman, then when you use a certain type of bike, that gives you more of a bonus than if your character is a man or something. You know, that's what made me think of it. I'm not sure there's a lot of balancing you can do with
well,
that
immediately
elsewhere. But
immediately I thought of, it's kind of interesting because now I'm like thinking of it also from like moral perspectives. Immediately, I thought of, if we were trying to like make the characters who are riding the bike suffragettes or what have you, important feminists in history. Then like we're like assigning stats to the feminists in history, which feels
we can
wrong.
No, I wouldn't.
I don't know. I don't need to put
Eleanor Roosevelt on a bike.
We can set that component aside.
Right.
If
okay,
we,
cool.
You know, we can bring it back if we want to.
Yeah, I think if we're thinking of going through history,
yeah.
Right, if we're setting it in one period of history,
yes.
Then the suffragette angle makes a lot of sense.
Got it.
But if we're talking about a larger sort of thing,
uh-huh.
then it would be a little bit more squeezed in, and got so it should okay. be a component,
cool,
rather than the main.
That makes sense.
Piece. Yeah.
Okay, so you're designing a character that you want to theoretically be able to use all of these bikes to some extent.
The more I think about it, the more I think that you would end up with an optimal build. And I don't know.
Probably.
So maybe I don't like it anymore. Okay. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I agree. Ultimately, there will be a build that...
Yeah, unless it becomes very roguelike-y, in which case, pass.
Yeah. Ellen's thinking.
Yeah, I wonder if... So... I mean, so, okay, two or three things come to mind. I pulled up the rules of Camel Up,
mm-hmm.
and there's a betting place on this. Like, you bet on the camel each round that you think is going to win.
Yeah,
okay.
And then there's some randomization that happens in there, and you can, like, move your spectators to influence where they, like, how the camels will move around the track and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
race. What occurred to me for this one, it actually, the phases of history and, like, the idea that you're setting up a player perspective where you have stats kind of reminds me of Small World a lot,
mm-hmm.
Where you like choose a like you choose a like a race and a power, so you choose like the Muddy Mushrooms or something like that.
Yeah,
and Muddy gives you a stat block or some abilities, and Mushrooms give you like a stat block or some abilities,
yeah.
And that combination gives you a unique take on the board and what you can do on the board.
Yeah,
and I wonder if we could do something like that where you can like recruit player and you can recruit bike, and then you can like, yeah. End that era. You race a few times with that combination, and then you end that era and you get a new combination.
Mm. Oh, what if the board is a rather than a racetrack,
yeah,
it could be a network of paths and streets, right?
Mm.
And then you can draw cards which give the players goals. Race to, and so it's, and like you say, many different things. So it's played out over many shorter rounds,
mm-hmm.
and then over time you build like a so rather than upgrade your bike, maybe you just get more bikes, and you,
yeah.
And you choose which bike and which person to send, or something on the mission. And who are you, and why is this group of bikes and people together? I don't know, but that might be interesting, and it could be like a. It could be sort of, rather than progressing through history, it could be a mashup of history.
Yeah.
Right? It could just be that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're now going to, it is now 21, like, or
right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it is now 1965.
Or, yeah. Like, the more modern bikes cost more, and you get currency by moving around the board somehow.
Yeah.
And then you can spend that currency to get better bikes that are more modern.
Right.
I hesitate to bring on a third possible direction.
Uh-huh.
We're still ideating. Yeah.
I suppose that's fair.
We've got endless time.
Yeah.
This is very strange. So my thought was you still like customize your character. Like, you make decisions based off of what you think the character should have, but like you get a random bike to ride.
Ooh.
And so like you just draw from a deck, and that like you draw a bike, and then that bike has a random set of properties. And I guess I was imagining everybody rides the same bike, and depending on how well you match your stats, you will drive. You will pilot that bike, ride that bike better.
You ride bikes.
Yeah, you ride.
You
bikes.
Ride bikes.
You'll ride the bike better. And it'll determine how well you do during the race.
I do like the idea that everyone is. Gets the same mission parameters.
Yes. Okay.
But that they all have their own unique set of resources and choices to prepare for it.
Yeah.
I think the randomization is a little bit tricky, because then you kind of have to just prepare the lowest common denominator.
Yeah, that's true.
To be ready for anything.
Yep.
So perhaps it can be a case of there could be like a card counting thing where like there are maybe 8 missions and you don't know what order they come in, but it's a small enough number that you don't have to play very long before kind of knowing what's left and what to prepare for, or something like that, perhaps.
Sure.
But basically you do some prep, as you go, and that's and you upgrade your sort of stats or collection or whatever permanently.
Yeah.
And then when a mission is revealed, then everyone has some time to like make some choices before that starts.
Yeah.
From their available resources that they have collected previously.
Yeah.
So that you do have to do some preparation, but also you get some information to act on.
Yeah.
And you could be like, I've got nothing for this. I'm going to play one of my weird cards that makes crazy things happen because I don't have a good shot at this, whatever. So there's some maybe risk reward to that, where you have a certain amount of like you can will forward a thunderstorm, and suddenly your off road bike is going to do better than everybody else's e-bikes.
Yeah.
Even though the mission was to deliver, you know, a sandwich. And that would be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that. So like event cards that you can play and you might like draw three and put two back or draw three and put one back. And then you might decide to play an event, but like the events affect everybody. So the reason that you're choosing that event is that your bike's stats are advantageous for some way.
And there's some risks for that because maybe the event is like, I'm going to play a weather card, but you don't really know what it's going to be. You just, you guess that it's going to improve your odds, but there's a chance it's going to really F you.
Right, exactly.
You know? It affects everybody.
Yeah, it affects everybody. And you play a weather card because you're looking at your bike and you're like, well, I'm the only bike right now that has three wheels, technically a trike. So like if it's windy or muddy, I'm probably going to be more stable.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
You know?
That's really good, yeah. And maybe one of the things is like road construction. So if you draw that, then you roll some other dice or whatever, and that determines which roads are closed.
Yeah.
And so everyone has to take different paths. Okay. So the question then is how much does this still have to be purely a racing game versus just tasks that maybe are, you know what I mean? So I just want to make sure we're not, because we can break the rules.
Yeah.
Don't tell Dale.
Hope she's not editing.
But also, like, where do you start from versus where you end?
Yeah.
If you're with me on having like the board be this static network that every task is a different thing rather than just the same route every time. The question is, does everyone start at the same place or do you choose where do you start from?
I guess like part of your... what decisions are most interesting for us to pursue with respect to this board game? Cause like if you have to like determine your path, I mean, ultimately, the path you take can also be like effectively a stat for your character.
Yes, right. Because this path could be direct, but it could also be slow or risky.
Yeah.
This one has a lot of lights, but it's only six blocks, whereas the nine block route has fewer lights.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever.
Yeah.
That could work. So like, I think that like if we're trying to get players to like decide on the different stats of the different of your character to give you the best shot, this is just roads can effectively be a different stat, in which case then it's the same thing and I'm all for it, I guess, because you're still making the same decision. I think even if we want to make you can add more flavor to it so that like the road you're taking has more distinct changes to like how well you do. And that's fine too, like maybe because like, you know, you pick a certain weather card and so you're affected by this road more because it doesn't work well in the rain or something versus this other one. So that could work too.
Well, how about for the sake of simplicity?
Yeah.
Let's have a network grid and each task has you start one place and end one place and everyone starts at the same place.
Okay.
And ends at the same place.
Okay.
And then, but everyone roll die to see how far they go, or maybe everyone goes the same amount of distance, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's like stats to determine, but then people can make different choices along the way about which route to take.
Oh, sure.
Right. And but not everyone started at a different place. It would be interesting, but it would be way more to keep track of.
So okay, yeah. So I'm kind of the way that I'm kind of hearing this is there's like a few different phases to how you're playing the game. Like there's the beginning phase where you're prepping and you're getting your material. Are you okay? Are you picking the bike you get? Or
I think my imagination for this was that you would collect stuff in your pool.
Okay.
And then when the mission is revealed, you would then pick from that what to send out. But the mechanism by which you get your resources is either via rewards from previous tasks or just by purchasing with bike points or whatever.
Yeah.
And so every turn you get like a turnaround between tasks where you get to use your resources to improve your collection and optimize it.
Yeah.
And that would also that also means the game changes as it goes on because you get more stuff.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just funny money, and then like also you can sell bikes, so you could be like, oh, we've done a bunch of old timey missions lately, and I've got a bunch of old timey bikes. I'm going to sell one to a museum, and because I know I'm going to want more modern stuff coming out or something like that.
Sure. Okay.
But that's a gamble you take.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
that makes sense to me. So effectively, the first phase is you're prepping. You get a certain type, different types of bikes.
Yeah.
Different types of stats somehow. I don't know. Your character does some pushups.
The bikes have different stats.
No, I meant like also your character has different stats. I don't, maybe they're just all bike stats.
I think to simplify it, it might just, I think you just have money.
Okay.
You just have resources to spend.
No. Right. But like what, how are you determining who's winning the race or not the race, but who's doing the, who's winning, getting the mission completed first?
It's a race. You get there first.
No, I understand that. But like, what, do you have stats? How do you determine who gets there first? It's what I'm asking.
I think it's
moving on the.
You roll a die to move, okay. Or that's maybe too random.
Sure.
Everyone moves the same amount.
Uh-huh.
But then the choices you make on your route, depending on what bike you've picked, interacts with. And so there are like, you go at an intersection, you roll to see if you hit a stoplight. Or, you know what I mean?
Oh.
Or it's a hill. You roll to see if you have the stamina or if you have enough charge in your e-bike.
So they're like,
or something. So,
dexterity checks?
Yeah, so it's all risk reward as you go. Like, okay. And you prep your gear. You're like, oh, this is a delivery job.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to make sure I have the cargo space for it, but that's going to make the bike heavier. And so therefore my...
Okay.
So when I check against a hill, it's a little hard, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't know that I want a million of these stats because you want to be able to make decisions relatively quickly.
But. I kind of like this. Okay, so this I'm starting to come together in my head, right? Okay. So, okay, I know, you know, we talked about a board game, and I've never actually seen this before. But what if instead of a board, it's actually like a printed book of maps?
So it's many different
things. It's many different things.
I like that.
And it goes from back, like the first ones are the old bikes, mm-hmm. historical, and the further down you go in the book, the more modern the maps get.
Yeah.
And like the weirder the distances and other hazards there are lights now and stuff like that. So the mechanics might change. And then you might divide it into like a couple different eras.
Mm-hmm.
So like in era one, you don't have stoplights per se. You don't have as many cars being hazards on the road.
Yeah.
And you get to era two and now there are cars or something like that. And era three and now there's like, you got to stay in the bike. I don't know. There's
I kind of like this. It's a big booklet, a big spiral bound booklet.
Yeah.
And it's the same area through time.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, fun.
So earliest, it's just people are racing bikes in a field.
Yeah.
And latest, it's like everyone's on a hover bike or whatever.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's part one. And then I'm thinking like, yeah, you have your bike, and at the beginning of every map, you never do any map more than once,
mm-hmm.
right? You have many different types of bikes that you can do, and maybe you combine the bike stats with like your rider stats, perhaps. Maybe that's an option for us to add some more variability.
Yeah.
But those matchups happen here on the board. You just have like your little bike meeple.
Yeah.
And some dice, and so you roll them, and like if you hit a specific value on the die, then you have to like draw a weather card or. Mm-hmm. Draw an event card or something like that, or hazard.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah, I don't know. And then I'm not sure. Yeah, you would look at the route that everyone is playing on, the same route.
Yeah.
And you'd look at that before you like configure your approach. And I don't think you have complete control over how you configure it. You might be able to like draw two bikes and draw two players or something like that and choose, like you said. But, then you keep those choices maybe through the whole era, maybe making some small modifications.
Yeah, I think this is sounding like the game is more linear than we were discussing earlier.
Yeah.
Which works for me. So then it's much more, maybe what we were really talking about is you start out with, and so you have one bike and you just upgrade that bike. Your meeple is just a little bike meeple that's your player color.
Yeah.
Okay. But you have cards which indicate what type of bike it is or whatever. Or I don't know. But like, and then you spend your resources through time. You pass the bike on to the next person in the family or whatever. We don't need to mechanize that part. But the idea is that you start out, and so you just flip through the book, and in between each round, maybe, I mean, if it's a spiral-bound book, there could be a map every 5 years for 200 years.
Yeah.
But then you determine how far into the future to go. So you only play like 6 or 7 rounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then, but in between rounds, you use whatever resources you've collected. to upgrade your bike.
Or to get new bikes. Get new bikes.
Yep.
So your earnings, like you might get different like dollar values based on how well you placed that round. And then we need to have maybe at the change of every era, there's like a catch up some sort.
Yeah. I think depending on how easily you can run away with it. Like you don't want somebody stuck on a really old bike in the future just because they weren't playing that well. Cause then it'll get progressively harder for that player.
Yeah.
So some kind of catch up mechanic. That's a board game problem. But we can assume that we can solve that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So
I mean, the game is a lot simpler now.
Yeah, that's fine.
Ultimately, which is good, I think.
That's good. This is a nice game jam. We're doing it in an hour.
but well, I mean, you know, it's been a while. Like, do we think we can get something we can play test?
Oh. I'll get the prototype box.
Yeah?
Yeah. Let's try it. So there was an interesting change in the nicegames.club/feedback forum that Mark added.
Don't put this on me. you said to do it.
Okay, fair. I did. I challenged people to tell me when I was wrong. I like that Mark added in the thing, though, to be specific. Uh-huh. Another avenue where you could tell me where I'm wrong at is on our Discord. You can go to nicegames.club/discord and let me know what the heck I said that upset you so much.
That's our call to action in this episode is go to nicegames.club/feedback and fill out the bonus question.
Yes.
Tell Steven he's wrong. Be specific.
Uh-huh.
And also, and or, I would say,
yeah.
Go to nicegames.club/discord. Mm-hmm. And is there anything you've thrown down this gauntlet a couple times.
Uh-huh.
And people have been very polite.
We are Nice Games Club.
It's true.
Is there anything in particular you want them to get all up in your business on?
Tell me why Worf is cool, because I don't like Worf. I don't know. I mean, Mark will probably ping me now. He'll be like, Worf is great in the following ways. No, I'm just kidding.
An essay.
Uh-huh. I don't know. Something like that, I guess. Yeah.
So that or something show related.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not Star Trek.
Why not?
Yeah, but let me know. Nicegames.club/discord or nicegames.club/feedback.
I feel like at this point, anything Star Trek is show related to just like secondarily.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Horton's. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
So to start prototyping,
what are
some bike stats that we want to have at the beginning of the era?
Yeah, like how do we want to be all gearhead about it, and like, or just kind of more speed, weight, efficiency?
The first thing I thought of when you said that was burliness. I don't know why that would be a stat for a bike. I'm not fully serious, but like half serious.
I feel like this is a stat for a rider.
Yeah.
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 If we wanted to be more specific, like, you know, we'd have to do a little research.
Yeah.
Acceleration.
But I kind of just think.
Stability.
Yeah. See, even that is a little more. That is still generalized.
Yes.
I would almost be less specific than that. Speed, weight, durability, capacity.
What's capacity?
Like how much stuff you can put in it?
Because some of it you might have to hold a certain number of items.
How many?
To bring it to the place.
Oh, we're gonna bring items to places on our race.
Sure.
Yeah.
I kind of love that idea. It's just you have to bring 5 pounds of apples.
Well, I was thinking more like you bring your kid to school.
Right. And if it goes wrong?
Well, they all make it there. Just, you know, some get there faster.
I'm just imagining, have you seen some of these flimsy bikes?
Oh, well.
From the 1900s?
Good thing this is kind of famous.
Well, I would say that would not be a 1900s task.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, fair. Okay, so.
But I mean, the context of what you'd use a bike for changes over time. Yeah. That's sure. That's part of our theme, right?
Right, right, right.
So, how many bins do you have hanging off the side is relevant if you're a delivery driver and you're trying to race, a pizza somewhere or something.
So we've got weight, we've got durability, and then.
Well, does that track for you guys? Like,
does
or
it
should
have
we,
generic stats,
or should we really be, generic. Or should it be more specific?
I like them being very generic.
Okay, I'm good with that.
And then, like the car or whatever the bikes are, can be very historically, you know, relevant and yes. accurate, and they can even have little like flavor text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then we just assign sort of D&D style generic stats to them.
Yeah.
Right.
So weight and durability, I feel like it needs at least one more stat.
Speed?
We hit, yeah, weight, durability, speed.
Speed.
Oh, because speed.
Can well, I mean, our mechanics are going to make this relevant or not.
Yeah, maybe speed isn't. Why is it hard to come up with stats for bike?
Gears?
I don't think it needs a lot because yeah. I think I would like, especially because we have all these different boards.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be where a lot of the context comes.
Still needs.
Right?
Yeah, maybe two is fine to start with.
No, I mean.
You should probably have more.
Speed, capacity, durability, and I did say one other. I forget.
You said weight.
Weight.
Yeah, because how heavy it is going to matter. It's going to be like what the penalty is when you go up a hill.
Yeah.
Is it going to take off one speed or two speed?
When you go up a hill. Mm-hmm. That's got it. Thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are like the different paths you're taking, or the way that the course works out, like effectively, are stat modifiers.
Wait, durability.
Yeah, stat modifiers or things you need to check against. Mm-hmm. So like if you're going up a hill, your weight will then modify your speed.
Yes.
If you're going down a hill, your weight will also modify your speed, right?
Yeah.
But if you are if you hit a muddy path, maybe you just do a check.
Okay.
I mean, that could also slow your speed, but like we can come up with different things.
Yeah.
Okay. So the stats could, they don't, I do, and I don't think they should work the same way every time. Should be contextual.
Yeah. Okay. Right? Yeah. 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 For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And like durability is going to matter too, because there will be random cars that will hit you.
Right.
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 Or if you tip over, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, like, yeah. You can also say like, yeah, you could do risky behavior. You could be like, because you know what the signal patterns are for a street lamp, say, in one of the, you know, mid-century and on maps. And yeah. So you could say, I'm going to try to make that light. So I'm going to go faster, but then I need to roll check against, falling down or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure, okay.
Ooh, weight, durability, speed, stability? Was that what it was? What was the fourth one?
Wait.
I think stability makes sense to me.
No, capacity.
Yeah.
Capacity.
But stability works also. That's a good fifth one. Yeah. I don't think that wasn't one that I said, but no. I like it.
Okay. Cool.
Cool.
All right. I've got my tablet out here. And so I'm going to draw three maps.
Okay.
That's essentially the same area, the earliest map, a middle map, and a modern map.
Okay.
And
that is a very good task for you to have.
Just as a relevant notion
for
how this might work.
I'm going to talk in the microphone. So, all right, Ellen, what are these stats? So Mark was talking about like these stats being effectively different checks that would happen on the road. I don't know enough about old roads to know how these would affect like your mobility on them. But I mean, like, obviously stability and speed are relevant. Speed, I guess. So speed like determines how many spaces you go by.
I think so.
Okay. And it's, yeah. Okay. So that makes sense.
So we're brainstorming hazards, right?
Well, we're brainstorming what the stats like can do, and that will determine what hazards affect. So effectively, speed is your win stat. The more speed you have, the more you win, or the closer you get to.
Well, what's the trade-off then?
You get less of the other stats, and the other stats are affect how fast you're going. So, for instance, Mark had brought up that like if you're going up a hill. And you have high weight, then your speed is affected more than a bike that has low weight.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're going down a hill, it would be the opposite impact, where like more weight means you're going faster. And like if you have like maybe you have like a I'm assuming these stats go from 1 to 5 because that seems simple enough. If you have a bike that goes, it has a speed of 5, like it probably has a 1 or 2 in all the other stats.
You know, here's the interesting thing. We don't have aerodynamics here because down a hill, more weight does not equal faster.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the aerodynamics of it, right?
The aerodynamics
at top speed, perhaps.
Yeah. Also, the aerodynamics always affect the bike.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
So that can be incapacitate. You know what I mean? That's part of the speed stat.
Yeah, and actually, it'll be more. Kind of depends.
Yeah.
There's some thematic questions here, right?
Mm-hmm. Because
the ultimate bike race is the Tour de France, right? Where aerodynamics is like the stat.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But if we're talking about an urban area that or starts out as a field and becomes a city, then top speed actually isn't the thing that you're not going to be racing at top speed in almost any of these maps.
Yeah.
And so that might not be thematically as appropriate, but it might be more appropriate earlier when it is just racing across a field.
Sure.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, there's less checks if you're just on the field, right? There's less.
Yeah, I think because this is as much an obstacle course as it is a race.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be waiting at stoplights. You'll be, you know, as school children cross or there are horses in the way, depending on your era.
Yeah.
There's going to be things that will slow you down.
Yeah.
That are independent of your, you know, your pedal power.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that we need to worry that much. Yeah, I guess I just never thought of this as like a bunch of racers. I just thought of this more as a bunch of people, like
sure.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Am I thinking of it differently than you guys were?
I mean, I was still thinking of it in terms of a race, and so that's why I was like, the speed stat is the most important stat.
Yeah, it still is a race, right? Yeah. You're still trying to complete a task faster than the other players.
Yeah.
I just think like thematically, you don't have on the spandex and the clip.
Oh yeah. No, I definitely wasn't thinking of it in terms of that. I actually don't have no idea what the racers were wearing.
Yeah,
they aren't important. As frankly, the bikes could just be sentient bikes, as far as I'm concerned.
Big googly eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. New Pixar movie coming to you soon.
Mm-hmm.
So effectively, I'm thinking that the speed set is the most important, and maybe like the early bikes don't have high speed, but they have pretty decent other stats because bikes were made for different reasons. They weren't necessarily, but I guess they were made to be fast, but they just don't get as fast as modern bikes. No, I don't know. Think about it too hard. We don't have to be that specific. Ultimately, yeah, you got your speed stat. That's your win more stat.
Mm-hmm.
You got stability, which checks against like turns. It could check against getting hit by random stuff. It could check against the road. You've got weight. I'm saying things pretty quickly, Ellen.
I'm getting some of it.
Okay, awesome. You've got weight, which I feel like weight should affect stability.
Well, I was thinking weight is something that really factors in on hills. Like it gives you it either gives you a like a speed handicap or it gives you a speed boost.
Yeah.
If you're going up a hill, it gives you a handicap on your speed. So you have to, if you're in a hill area, you have to subtract from your speed roll, your movement roll.
Yeah.
And if you're going down a hill, then you get to add to it for a certain number of, like, up to a certain number or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
And
so that's the main effect of weight.
Yeah.
You have capacity, which determines how much you can hold. And if this race is like get 10 apples to a location, and you can only hold 5 apples, you have to do 2 loops.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So that's what that affects. So actually, really, capacity and speed. If you're typically your main goal is to bring a thing to another place, capacity and speed are your 2 win more stats. Your most important stats.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have weight, durability was the other one, right? So like I guess that if your stability check.
Can we revisit stability for a second? Sorry,
we have to cut
that out. I have an idea for durability, but let's revisit stability.
Okay.
So stability is road conditions. Is that what we're thinking? Like,
yeah. Road conditions or obstacles, like how well you deal with. How well you deal with certain things on the course,
including things like wind.
Yes.
Weather.
Yeah. If it's you know, quite breezy outside, maybe you fall over more frequently, and it just slows you down a lot.
tight turns, bumps from other riders.
Right. Horses, when you get hit by them or something.
Cars. Cars. Horses.
Horses.
Dogs.
Dogs. Anything.
You know. Potholes.
Yeah.
Okay, so durability. I was thinking it was basically, well, and there might be now an overlap between durability and stability.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was
in it. Yeah, so maybe stability is only about road conditions, windiness, tight turns. But then the durability stat is about, like, basically armor class.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you you pull out a hazard and everyone has an encounter with a scary horse, then, like, you know, you roll to see how much the scary horse, like, knocks you off, you know, messes up your bike. And if you have high durability and the horse rolls, you know, the damage roll is below that, then you don't have to stop and repair. But if the damage roll meets or beats it, then you do have to, like, you, like, lose a turn, or you have to take two speed off of your next turn or something like that.
That's kind of how I was thinking. Durability is effectively determines how much, like, stability checks affect you. It's kind of what I was thinking. I don't know if that, it sounds like what you were
describing. Oh, yeah. I guess I hadn't thought about that way, but that's an interesting relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So those are the five stats. Speed is go fast. Weight is how heavy you are, how quickly you go up and down hills. Stability is how well you handle obstacles and course things. Durability is how much not being able to handle those things affects your bike.
Yeah, exactly.
And then capacity is how much you can hold, how much you can bring to places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe in the first. Well, Mark is still drawing up the course.
I'm also making a lot of assumptions here that we're going to have to interpret later. So
okay, that's fine.
But it looks great.
Yeah. But I was thinking that, like, the first era, is this what kind of course are you drawing, Mark? Is this, like, new era?
This will be, like, the modernist, most modern era. Cool. Yeah, I figured we'd take that and we'd pull back from that.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. So yeah, early eras you, like, are mostly effectively just focused on racing, and so, like, it doesn't actually matter too much what your capacity is. It's like you're like bikes, I guess, were, I'm imagining, Mark can correct me, but bikes were, like, effectively meant for racing, built for that purpose. And so, like, how well you can carry one thing to another, that's a horse's job. You don't deal with that. You just deal with the bikes.
The earliest bikes were not built for racing.
Oh, okay. I was wrong, man.
Definitely an urban invention.
Okay.
I mean, they were on farms and stuff pretty early as well, but they were meant to get you around.
Okay.
But like anything,
people raced
them almost immediately.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of what I was imagining, is that, like, the if we're thinking about, like, how bikes change purpose over time, that should also be included in this, and the stats should reflect that. So, like, modern bikes maybe are particularly good about getting a bunch of stuff from one place to another, but, like, maybe the early bikes aren't as concerned with that, and so you don't need those stats, and so those stats are effectively wasted stats, and so it'll determine, like, it changes up how you approach the different maps, is how I'm imagining it. Does that make sense?
I think, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Okay, can we come up with some bikes now?
Oh, yeah. we got the penny farthings. That's the one with the big wheels in it.
Well, are we going to start with modern bikes and go back, or are we going to start with old bikes and go up?
We should probably start with modern bikes, because that's what Mark's starting with.
Okay, so I have triathlon bike, road racing bike, mountain bike.
Oh, you got them already. Okay.
I have some. Right. We don't have to go with these.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't think we can, like, name brands of bikes.
Yeah.
Weight. I was going to think about, like, everything on a scale of, like, 1 to 5.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay, so, but weight is an interesting one, because lower is lighter.
Right.
But that's not necessarily
a good thing.
Good, right?
Yeah.
And it's probably going to have, like, an inverse relationship to stability, maybe.
Yeah, something like that, potentially.
I'm going to go with gravel bike, not road racing bike.
Okay.
Gravel bike, mountain bike, and e-bike.
Okay, sure.
And e-bike is interesting because I feel like there has to be, you could do some weird stuff with, like, the charging mechanic.
Oh, yeah, there could be, like, fancy special.
Yeah, it could be, like, it's super fast.
Unicycle. That could be a bike. I guess it's not a bike, but, you know.
Capacity low.
Yeah.
Speed low. Weight low. Durability low. Stability low.
But it gets the style points.
Charm medium.
Yeah. Medium. Yeah, it is. Okay, so yeah, we could just start. Does it make sense to just start with like three of the bikes? You said e-bike, mountain bike.
I said triathlon bike.
Okay.
There are three of us. I want to give us four choices per era.
Okay.
Okay.
Just to kind of mix things up a little bit, just while we're prototyping.
Sure.
I imagine like in the player, like in the actual gameplay, there could be many, many more.
Yeah.
So triathlon bike, gravel bike, mountain bike, e-bike.
Cool.
Triathlon bike has a weight of one.
Okay.
And gravel bike 2, mountain bike 3, and e-bike 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Durability, I'm going to give triathlon bike a 2, a gravel bike a 3, a mountain bike a 5, and an e-bike for durability. Mark? 4? 3?
4.
4?
Yeah, the thing with an e-bike is like we're thinking about there's like the city bike e-bike, mm-hmm. which is like, it's a weight of 25.
Yeah, it's
on our scale.
Very, very.
But also, heavy. The point is that you can throw it off a bridge and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But that's kind of maybe not what we're thinking. We're thinking of the sort of commuter bike, like my bike, mm-hmm. which is heavy and durable, but also not that elegant.
Yeah. Okay. Right? Cool. So I gave it a durability of 4, maybe more durable, definitely more durable than a triathlon bike. Marginally more durable than a gravel bike, but not as durable as a mountain bike.
Yeah, I think like a triathlon bike, you can like fold in half with your hands, right? Like it's
you're there. You can like lift them with your pinky.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they're made of carbon fiber, right? So they are durable in a sense, but maybe with our crude system, we need to have trade offs.
We need to have trade offs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, we can.
But definitely less impact resistant.
We can ask Eric to vet our bike, our bike stats later.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Triathlon bike speed is going to be 5. Gravel bike speed is going to be 4. Mountain bike speed is going to be 2.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. E-bike is an interesting one. I feel like that could be a 5 with a star.
Yeah, I think there's a
4 with a star.
There needs to be like a resource cost or something for the bonuses that you get. But also, there's mechanics we haven't determined here because it could just be that there are bikes that are just better, right? Yeah. I don't think we should be balancing these perfectly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you're
but right. If we don't balance them perfectly, then we need other mechanics through which to balance them.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that like the e-bike is the best, but you just can't afford it right away.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so but as soon as you can afford it, you want it or something, you know.
Yeah.
But you've got all of this gear or something that isn't compatible with it, and so it's even more expensive or something like that. That kind of balancing. So it's more of a choice you make. But objectively, the stats would be better, would be faster just because it's just faster.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe as an e-bike, you could only use it on every other, which is maybe a little bit unfair in terms of like the charging infrastructure. But
I think,
some other drawbacks.
Not every destination will have a charger, you know? So you might get part. I think occasionally, kind of pulling from, you know, the inspiration of Small World, they, like a lot of the different, like races and people they have like some of them have weird stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like weird one-off capabilities and weird things that they can do, but only they can do.
Right. Mechanics that are not used by other.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of the fun of that game,
mm-hmm.
Which we could maybe play with a little bit here. So.
Yeah. So like the e-bike has a charge.
Right.
And every time you use it on a task, it reduces the charge. And then once it's gone, it needs to sit out for a task or two, something like that.
Yeah, you could just use a die to count down.
Yeah, yeah, and that could be relatively crude. I think we want to avoid saying something about saying that, like, because truthfully, if we have an e-bike, you can use it all the time. The charge, it charges very quickly.
Yeah.
There is no real downside in the real world.
Yeah.
But I don't want to send the message that it's a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's what people say about electric cars, too, as a way to depress interest in electric vehicles. Mm. That said, I think it makes a lot of sense for us to do something like that, to use that as a mechanic. And I'm fine of us not being that. We can deal with the fallout and fix it later, I think.
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Yeah.
I don't want to stop us from trying this because it's a cool idea.
I also kind of, the e-bike, you could just,
I mean, yeah, well, I mean, one of the things about e-bikes is they're still bikes, even though they don't have electricity, right?
Yeah.
But, like, maybe they're just worse bikes. When you don't have access to electricity.
Well, I think it's a trade-off. I think while the charge is active, you have an amazing, easy-to-use bike.
Right,
yeah.
You're just banking, like, you're taking a little bit of a risk in this game.
Yeah.
That you won't necessarily be, you know, you won't always maintain a charge.
And I feel like it would be kind of interesting if you had an e-bike, but in the 1800s, and you just can't charge it. Like,
right. There'd be like, but maybe as soon as you can afford it, you want to get one, yeah. but it's not usable for another 50 years.
Yeah.
or yeah. something.
I don't know.
I don't know how much you want to break the timeline here, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
sort of the what choices you make strategically, like invest now for a later reward.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Something we didn't add on to the bike stats is cost.
Yeah.
It's not a stat that interacts with the map per se, but it is something we need to think about.
Yeah. True. And it could be a case of like, you know, again, this might not send the right message, but like bikes with low durability, you might want to buy a couple.
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or might not rely on it. So maybe you get another bike just in case or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Hmm. Yeah. Maybe bikes could have a stat which is just brand new, worn, damaged. You know what I mean? And those are just statuses, but each bike, something different happens based on that status.
Sure.
So let's say you pull an event card and it says, you got hit by a car who ran a red light. Your bike is now damaged. And you look at your card and says, when damaged, bike is destroyed.
Yeah.
Another one says, when damaged, lose one speed.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just a different thing that happens, and then that has that status. But then that can interact with all the events and stuff independent.
Yeah.
And after you use it a certain amount of tasks, it becomes worn or it becomes old or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's different for each bike. Some bikes will just last a long time because they're simple or whatever. Mm. And some will wear out a lot. Like a mountain bike will wear out a lot quicker.
Right.
Probably because it's cheaper.
Right.
Well, I guess when I think of mountain bike, I think of the kind I rode when I was in middle school. But
oh.
I mean, like a proper mountain bike is expensive and durable. But
yeah.
Honestly, it could be that. I mean, for our purposes, we just have these four. But
yeah.
Maybe in a final game, it's like a full deck.
Yeah.
And instead of these being the bikes, they could be a class. So you could have a bunch of different e-bikes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One that's a cargo bike. One that's an old Schwinn that they put a motor on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and so they could have different stats and stuff. I don't think we should bother with that now, but that might be a good direction going forward. Just so that thematically, we can play in the entire universe of bikes.
Sure.
Rather than making broad statements about what a bike is.
Yeah.
So that solves the problem for me if we just think that would be something we do later.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can make very broad judgments about, like, our e-bike can have a really crappy battery.
And
that's fine.
I also think that, like you said, Mark, we don't necessarily have to be very precious about the balance because we're...
Well, certainly not. Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, other factors will come into play.
Yep.
Potentially other factors that we're not working on now.
We also said we're going to have flavor text on the bike cards, and we can just make that as, like, hey, in this game... We made the batteries kind of crappy so that the game would be fun.
Yeah.
In real life, e-bikes are dope.
Yeah.
Well, I just mean to say that for our prototyping purposes, we can make a crappy e-bike, but then in the final version, there's like 30 e-bikes.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
some of them are top of the line and they're just expensive. Well,
obviously, you need expansion packs. expansion pack.
You can't really.
It is a board game after all.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to have at least two. I want us to test with like two eras.
Okay.
So I've got a few different. I've got the 2020s built out.
All right.
Yeah.
How about the 1920s? What are we working with there?
Oh.
Bikes.
I barely know anything about bikes. I know as much about bikes as I know about cats. So that is nothing.
So we're in the era of the safety bike, but I think we're still single speed bikes.
In the 1920s?
I think so. But I'm kind of stabbing it. I don't know. I'm only halfway through my history of bikes book.
Okay, 1820s is kind of like we're talking about earliest bikes around there. So 1920, I think we need something in the middle between 1920s and 2020s.
Yeah, if we're talking, if we want to do the bike craze I was talking about, which is like 1860.
Well, according to the Wikipedia article, it's 1880s, 1890s.
Okay,
but close enough. This one has a fancy giant wheel on the back.
Love it.
What?
Mixing it up.
Okay, so I guess this is the pivot where earlier the bicycle was more of a plaything.
Okay.
And here is where it becomes more of a proper object of urban transport.
Okay.
In this era.
Okay.
In the 1860s. Cool.
1880s.
In the 1880s.
Yes. There was a bike boom in the 1860s, but that has a smaller entry on the page.
There's a few different types of safety bikes here, and I don't know enough about them to make super fancy stats, but I can describe them.
Yeah, we'll go fast.
One of them, basically, like one of them.
In the 1880s?
In the 1880s.
Okay, all right.
It's a McCammon safety bike. It's got the big wheel in the back.
Safety
there's,
bike.
There's the penny farthings.
Okay, safety bike with big back.
Yeah. There's the penny.
With much back.
Yeah.
Yes. There's the penny farthings with the big wheel on the front.
Yeah.
There's Whippet safety bikes. And Rover safety bikes look fairly similar, where they both have about the same size wheel.
So we there are a few different models of safety bike.
Yeah.
What were the different? I don't feel like we have to worry about brand names from the 1880s.
No, we can make our own funny ones.
I'm saying these names just to distinguish between the different types.
Well, no, I was saying like we could just use those names because they don't care anymore.
Oh, right. Yes.
Whereas like I can't say, you know, I don't feel like we can say Huffy in the game for today or like,
right.
You know, Specialized.
I mean, we did do a whole episode on licensing and stuff, but you could do that.
Okay.
But you wouldn't want to because in the real world, it would be like you'd risk like defamation or trademark dispute.
Right, right, right.
But you are allowed to do it if the purpose is for, you know, this is a historical thing.
Yeah.
You would just almost never do that.
Right, right, right. But for the 1880s, let's just use the different names of the safety bikes.
So yeah.
What was the first one?
Okay. So McCammon is the one with the big wheel in the back.
I mean, some of these may be going brands. You never know. This is definitely an industry that has longevity in certain areas. Which isn't to say any of these have, but.
Well, it's a prototype.
Yeah.
The penny farthing is the big one. That's not a specific brand. Yeah. It's just a type of bike. But that's the big wheel in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you need a generic name for a type of safety bike, like a diamond frame, which is the traditional shape. That's we could use that as a type.
Okay.
I'm just going to use the regular name right now, because then listeners will learn about bikes from the 1880s.
So the Whippet bike. Whippet bike.
Yep.
That safety one's just
bike.
Yeah, this is another type of safety bike that's just like both the wheels are about the same size.
Okay.
And then there's a kangaroo dwarf safety bike, which kind of looks like a penny farthing.
Okay.
As far as I could tell.
Make up some stats.
Yes.
This would actually be some interesting. This is just outside our realm of our knowledge.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Our contemporary knowledge.
That's why I said
like,
make up.
Was a penny farthing fast? Maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm just asking Stephen, does it look heavy?
Right. Okay.
Which one looks heaviest?
Good. Penny farthings look heavy.
Okay. We're going to give that one a 5.
All right. McCammon's also look heavy. The Whippet safety bike. And that maybe the kangaroo bike is like a little lighter than the penny farthing. But the Whippet safety bike looks like the lightest.
Okay, so we're going to give that one a 3. All these ones are going to be heavy because they're old.
Yeah, sure.
And yeah.
A 3. Okay.
Okay.
A penny farthing and a safety bicycle are about the same speed.
Oh, fun.
Because the safety bikes, they're chain driven, right? So you can, mechanically efficient, but the penny farthing has that big ass wheel.
Yeah,
so every turn got you some distance.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and because of the weight of the wheel, you also had a lot of like, you had a lot of weight momentum.
Yeah,
so you could get it up to speed.
Well, perfect. It definitely should be away from.
So this is actually an opportunity to maybe acceleration is a stat.
I don't want to mess with it yet.
Yeah.
Because
That's for later.
That's for later.
But I was really against that. I was like, that's too complicated, especially if it's a longer thing.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to realize maybe that would provide a distinction between different bikes.
You yourself are a bike person.
Yeah.
You know that complication is part of the appeal.
I'm not that type of bike person.
You say that.
I'm the type of bike person I am is an urbanist. So like I don't care that much about like I like a Dutch bicycle, right? It's less efficient on purpose because you can sit upright on it, and that's good for getting around. You know,
my point is, you know what that is, and considered it.
Touché.
Okay.
But yeah, that's part of it is because I'm looking at all these things. I'm like, when I think about myself as a bike person, I don't care about what the stats of a bike are.
Right.
I just don't care. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, am I a bike person? But we're making a racing game. It has to matter.
Yeah. Right,
it has to matter.
It has to matter.
Okay. So penny farthing, everything is going to have low speed and high weight in this era. So okay. The penny farthing is going to have a speed of 2.
Sure.
And
but I like that, like, maybe that's the bonus of the penny farthing is because it's so heavy, there's a lot of hills. Maybe you can get, if you do your pathing right, maybe you can get take advantage of all the hills.
Right. My guess is a penny farthing couldn't go up any hills.
Right.
Well, it has a weight of 5 and a speed of 2. So the way that we've been thinking about speed and weight interacting.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the other thing is if we're going to have different eras, we could also just have global like stat applications for that era. Mm. Like you could change the die size that you're using. You know, oh, like there's sure, just yeah. a bunch of things you could do. So
Yeah. I mean, now I'm starting to think about like, you know, because the whole point of having multiple gears is that you be more efficient in different types of terrain. And that actually is different. You know, you could have a fixie in a modern era, which would be more durable, less complicated, but mm-hmm. also you would have a harder time going both up and down hills mm-hmm. on a fixie, right? So with just a single speed. And so like a penny farthing is as fast as a safety bicycle, but you would have a much harder time getting up any hills on a penny farthing,
right? Yeah.
Because you don't have that efficient.
You're faster on the flats, but on the hills, you really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, let's not add stats. Yeah. I'm complicating it. But that's something to think about for later.
Yep.
Okay. Stability. Steven, which looks the most.
Penny farthings never looks.
That's a 1 or a 0.
Yeah. Okay. A 1.
That's the reason we don't use them anymore.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Because people fell over the front of them all of the time.
I mean, the McCammon doesn't look much sturdier, frankly.
2.
The Whippet. And the kangaroo one is interesting because it looks like a penny farthing, but just like better. Yeah.
So no, better
I cannot express the difference between a safety bicycle and a penny farthing in terms of stability.
Yeah.
It's like orders of magnitude. So there has to be at least one number mm-hmm. between any of the safety bicycles and penny farthing.
That's fair.
Which looks more stable, the Whippet or the McCammon?
Oh, the Whippet for sure.
Okay, so I'll get a 3 in that.
Because the Whippet looks like a modern bike. But just older.
Mm-hmm. Durability and capacity. We still need stats for that.
Just looking at these. How would you put anything in a penny farthing? How do you even get up on a penny?
So basically a basket is all you're really going to have.
Yeah.
Right? So a front basket. So like, I mean, all the stats for these older bikes should be pretty crap.
Yeah. 1 or 2 on the more modern looking bikes, and then 0 on the penny farthing for storage. Just nowhere on the frame to attach anything.
That's what I.
All you could do is what you can carry in your back.
Mm.
Well, then I would mean. Okay, so is that a rider stat that we're gonna mess with?
No.
I'm just
gonna say 1. Let's not worry about rider stats for now.
We're not having zeros.
I think we could have zeros for bikes, but I think, you know. What do you do then when the race involves moving apples?
Well, you can't take a penny farthing.
Yeah. There's other bikes.
Right. So you better have a different bike. Yeah. Okay. All right.
But I don't worry too much about it.
Okay. Well, we can play with a 0.
Mm-hmm.
0 is a challenging number. Mm. Okay. It's not the loneliest number, though.
No, it's not.
Famously.
So then everything else in that era is going to get a 1 for capacity? How about that?
Yeah, sure. Cool.
Okay. And then last stat for the 1880s is durability. I feel like everything should be...
Pretty high.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think we're making some assumptions about everything we made of like welded steel, but like maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just go with it. It might be ahistorical. We can research that.
Yeah, later. Exactly. Yep. We made them all really heavy. So I'm going to go with... The McCammon safety bike is a weight of 4, and I'm going to give it a durability of 5. The penny farthing is a weight of 5, but I'm going to give it a durability of 4 because it is so goofy looking.
Yep.
And then the Whippet safety bike, maybe a durability of 4 because the stability is 3.
Yeah.
And the Kangaroo Dwarf safety bike is going to get a durability of 5 because the stability is 2.
Sure. Okay.
And now I'm going to give it some random costs.
All right.
$200. I don't know anything about historic bikes. This was a really good prompt, Dale. Good job.
Yeah.
Now I really want to make a game about bikes. Historic bikes. I really do.
The best prompts are the ones where we learn something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're also the hardest. So, because we got to learn something.
Learning sucks.
Mark, how's the map coming along?
Pretty good. I drew one map, and then I did two different dot colors to indicate the two different eras we're going to test.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Okay.
Just as a quick and dirty way to do it.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's a simple street grid. We'll make this maybe the hero image of the episode people can see.
Yeah.
It's kind of basic street grid with one sort of like diagonal Broadway style thing going across. Mm-hmm. And then I've got an old trail running through, which is a shortcut, but there's more dots on it.
Okay.
So it might be more, none of this is balanced. And then I'm going to draw a couple alleys, which similarly are shortcuts, but add an extra dot or two because they're essentially a slower route.
Sure.
So we don't have to add modifiers directly.
I like the dots dots are how far you're going. Yeah,
So that's a simple way to do that and very intuitive. Mm-hmm. But then I think what's not written on here is what you did, like intersections would trigger, traffic somethings, or maybe there might be a situation where, because I think what would be good is to, there'd be like a pattern. And so you'd have maybe markers you'd put on the board, and then you'd swap them every so many turns,
yeah,
or every so many movements or something.
Yeah.
So you could plan a route where you go through the Gull of the Greens or whatever, and you could just miss it by one or whatever. We're not going to deal with that now.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do something at every intersection as a proxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I feel like maybe we could test.
Yeah.
We're getting close. Yeah.
All right, I've got
you. You've tested with worse.
I suppose.
So what? So I've got a spreadsheet. I've got the bikes that we brainstormed with all their different stats.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've got the different costs. I've got different columns that say Mark, Steve, and Ellen, so we can track which bikes we have.
Okay.
Do we have little doodads to use for bikes?
Oh, we don't have. We have meeples. We can just use meeples.
I guess we will use meeples.
I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I think we need to, we probably all get a starting bike, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
In case you can't buy one or you don't want well, you decide just, not to buy one.
You start one. Yeah. You start. So we can maybe
each choose a bike. We all get a penny farthing.
Oh, do we all start with the same bike?
Yeah.
I like that.
They're the worst kind of
bike. Yeah. Everyone.
At least based off of our chart here.
Okay, I've marked that down on the spreadsheet. Everyone has a penny farthing bike, which, again, the stats are weight of 5. That's very heavy. Durability of 4. It's pretty good. Speed of 2, which is bad, but better than the others. Capacity of 0, which could be a problem. And then stability of 1, which is not very stable. One thing I just realized that, well, maybe, Mark, you've been thinking about this in that, like, what are our
Let's
races?
Hope.
what are the things we're racing for? And are these our bikes?
Yeah.
Okay. We've got to take pictures.
The closest little thing we had that.
That's pretty great.
We got to take pictures of this.
I was thinking that the way it would work in the game is you draw from a deck, and the deck would have here's where you start, and so maybe there'd be some sort of notation system for these points. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a little clumsy, but let's assume.
Okay.
And then here's where you start. Here's where you end, and here are any conditions of the race along the way.
Okay.
So what we should probably do then is just together design one of these.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Without really understanding how the game works yet, so we can't, you know, so Steven can't cheat.
Because I would.
Perhaps just because maybe we just start at one corner and end at the other corner, just to sort of test the sort of notion here.
Sounds like a plan. And I was just thinking the conditions would be it's wet out, so every time you turn, you had to do a stability check.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Right. Anytime you're not going straight. Okay.
Yeah. Anytime you, change lane or whatever.
Right.
What about this curvy path where you're never going straight?
Well, you got to roll every time.
Well, you're not making any turns. You're
just going.
Okay, so curvy doesn't mean right. Turn corner. Means right.
Well, I'm stepping on Steven's definition. Maybe this means you need the check happens more often or something.
I was thinking it would happen more often, but I think it's kind of interesting that has an advantage, but it's slower. So let's just say that it's not. You don't do any actual turns, and it's fine. It's effectively a straight line, but it's not a straight.
Where
line.
Are there hills?
So this would be, I think, a situation where you need some sort of like elevation marking, and I don't have that here. So maybe let's just not do that for now.
Well, that's going to be tough, right? Okay, let's not do it for now.
I think what we need to test is the sort of like the basic mechanic of like choosing a path.
No, you're right. We just have to play our prototype. We don't have to finish the game. I need to chill.
Yeah, Ellen.
I wasn't going to say it. And I think my prediction is that the map will be so quickly solvable that will reveal it's flawed. But that's okay fine. Because that will tell us what we need to add to it and stuff. So. Yep.
Cool. Sounds good to me. So I'm going to roll.
Do it, do it.
Four. I got a three. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the bottom path.
Down here?
Yes.
So you're going to go straight. You're not going to take a turn right away.
I'm not going to. Well.
One, two, and then three?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Try to take as few turns as possible because I'm on a penny farthing.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's bad. Smart. That's smart.
Okay. I'll go next?
Yeah.
All right. Two. All right. One, two.
Oh, okay. You're going to follow me.
Didn't say that.
Okay. Fair enough. Ellen, your turn.
All right. I'm on a roll. I also got a two.
Okay.
We're going to the opposite corner, right?
Yes. Well, just about.
Oh, that little guy.
Yeah.
So any of the points.
Any of the points that touch it. Okay. Cool. All right. I'm going to take a first turn here, actually.
Uh-oh.
Because I want to test the system.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to turn immediately left. Is this our starting dot? Do we count this as a move? Yes. You guys have. You guys have?
No, we haven't counted.
No, we haven't counted.
Two. Okay. One, two, yeah. So we start on this dot. And so I'm going... turn immediately.
Okay.
So then one, two. Do I do the roll?
I would say you didn't turn.
Yeah.
Okay. No turn, no stability rolls in the first case.
I'm kind of messing us up because the point was to test it, but we'll test
it. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. It's cool. Good questions. I'm glad we're recording it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Rolling. I got a three.
Dang. Oh, that was so fancy. The end is in rainbow color and the start is in rainbow color.
Okay. Steven, where are you going?
I'm going to continue down the path.
One, two, three. It's really exploiting the simplest path.
I don't know if it'll work, but I'm going to try it.
I haven't counted these points at all.
Okay.
So, all right. I've got two. Now, the question is I stopped at this intersection.
You did.
So, did I actually stop? Or
I would think that you didn't actually stop.
No, you didn't actually stop.
You're making a turn now.
If I am making a turn.
If you're going to make a turn, yeah.
Okay. I would think it might be interesting that you actually do stop.
Okay.
But I'm happy to go along with that for now.
I agree with you, but yeah, just for the
test. Okay, so I made a turn. So I guess you have to declare you're turning then. Mm-hmm. That's the other question.
I'm turning.
When does the turn happen? Does it happen before I roll the die? Like I've decided to turn down this path.
I think it happens before when you have to make a turn. Well, here's the thing.
Because if I roll and let's say I only got a one, I don't know why. I can't think of a reason why, but the outcome of my roll, then I would decide to go here or turn and go here, because I'm at this intersection point.
I think that you have to roll for your stability check whenever you hit the turn. So you are hitting the turn at the beginning.
Yeah.
And so you roll the stability check first and then roll your die.
So it doesn't matter what I get, I'm definitely going this way.
Well, I think you have to choose whether you're going to go straight. You've come across an intersection.
Yeah.
And you have to choose whether you're going to go straight or whether you're going to turn.
Right.
And you need to make that choice. And you need to make it now because it's the beginning. You stopped. You paused your movement on an intersection.
Right.
Where if you were like Steven crossed that intersection while he was in the middle of his movement.
Right.
I think he moves up to the intersection, makes a decision about which way to go.
And then does the
rest of his movement. If he's making a turn, he does the check in the middle of his movement.
And then I totally agree with that.
Okay.
I guess the question is because it happened, the decision happens at some point between my two turns. It makes it a little bit fiddly.
This one's weird for you because you stopped on the intersection.
Right. But that's going to happen a lot.
Yeah.
Sure.
It also, if we have traffic, then you're going to have to be, you'll be blunted. You'll get a four, but you can only go two because you're hitting an intersection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that also might determine what choice you make. I'm going to turn left instead.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm happy to do whatever. Let's just because we're gonna test the mechanic.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it becomes a little bit complicated. I think. But let's worry about that later.
Okay. Fine.
All right. So I'm deciding to make the turn, whether I made it before I rolled the die or after or whatever, or maybe this is in the middle of whatever. But let's.
Yeah.
So how does this check work?
Yeah. How does this check work?
How does this check work?
Oh no.
Okay. So So the way that we talked about durability was kind of as like an armor class thing. Like
well, we're testing stability.
I know. I'm thinking through.
Oh, you're getting us all the way there. Okay.
Maybe we'll find out. We'll see how where this goes. Yeah, because with durability, like you roll a die, and if it beats your durability number, or then you take like a durability hit or penalty right. in some way, and you lose speed, or you have
depending to, on what hits you or what you hit,
how much over it hit you or something. Yeah.
So Steven decided that because it's a rainy day, it's just a general modifier.
Yeah.
So the normal modifier on a turn is zero, but then because it's rainy, it's a one or two or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I guess. Right.
Yeah.
So does that just mean, yeah. So for stability, yeah. So maybe you just have a, there's just a stand. It's a light rain. So there's a stability penalty of one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds and good to me.
If you have a stability that's higher than one, or it just like your stability stat cancels out that number of penalty, and then that affects your roll.
Oh, I was thinking it'd be simpler than that. Okay. So what's the stability of my bike?
The stability of your bike is one.
Okay.
Right, because we're on any
farthing. Right. So let's say the modifier is two.
Okay.
Okay.
So I would roll a d6.
Sure.
And I add my stability, and I need to beat the check.
The check. And the check is two. Okay. Right? Yeah, that makes sense to me.
So is that what you described, or?
I don't think so, but that's okay.
It just feels really simple to me, and I don't know that.
Yeah. Right.
And as a D6, if maybe our stat should be 1 to 6, but as a D6, if the stat is 5, that means that you because if you roll a 1 and your stat is 5, then you get 6. So it kind of actually matches up okay. You'll never roll more than a 6, but you'll never and 6 is the so 1 to 5 still works.
Mm-hmm.
And 0 makes a lot of sense in this system because then you have nothing to help you on your roll.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
But we can have additional modifiers, perhaps. So, like, let's say you've got training wheels. That's an addition. You install training wheels on your bike. Mm-hmm. That adds one or two more stability.
Mm-hmm.
And then that all that is just one extra you add to your roll.
Yeah. Right? Okay. So let me recap this then. So you have to get to a 5 or a 6 in order to make the turn.
I have to beat the check.
The check being two.
So the check is 2.
Okay.
Because it's raining, but like it's not.
Not raining that hard.
Right. It's not a strong wind.
Okay. Right. Okay. So you're very likely to beat the check here.
And my modifier is 1. This is an argument to make the penny farthing modifier 0. But for now, it's fine. Okay. So I rolled a 4. So that's a 5. So I beat it handily.
Yes.
And I guess this is the kind of environmental modifier that would make sense that you would beat it most of the time.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. Yeah. This balance isn't a question here.
Right? You know, what's interesting, too, is like we have turns of various degrees built into this map. And you could have a thing where like
a tight turn or a.
Yeah. Like you could have a condition book where you like randomly get a condition and it says, OK, it's raining and it's raining very light. So that means that all turns have a penalty of 2.
Yeah.
But like a heavy rain, then maybe the tighter turns that have a sharper angle have an even higher one.
Penalty of 4.
When it's not raining, the tight turns don't make any difference.
Right.
So it's not just a linear scale. It's very conditional.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something
like
to play with.
That's very cool. I like that a lot. OK, so I rolled my 2 originally. So I'll go my 2 up the diagonal boulevard here. And
cool.
then Ellen, it is your turn.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it is. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this piece called American in Paris. It's by Gershwin.
Mm-hmm.
He did Rhapsody in Blue, too. And so that's going through my head right now. I don't know why. I think it's because like there's so many pieces of that song or that there's so many parts of that orchestral piece that have very traffic-y sounds.
Yeah.
And that's going through my like, da 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 riding our old bike. I rolled a 1. It's very bad.
I moved you.
Thank you.
And I'm starting to realize that I've really disadvantaged these verticals, and the way I'm going is quite a shortcut and much fewer dots.
It's okay. We didn't know.
Yeah.
Cool. Here we go. 4. No, it was a 3 again. Wow. You know why it's a 3? Because I'm Stephen McGregor III. Keep going.
All right. Still along the south path here.
Yep. Going 1, 2, 3.
3. You've almost reached the far corner.
Yep.
You're going to make your 90-degree turn shortly.
Yes. I'm excited. One turn, three.
You've been advantaged partly just by rolling good.
I have actually, yeah.
You got a 3-2-3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. And I've got 2-2. 2-2-1. All right. So I'm going 1. And my turn is done.
Okay, I'm rolling. 2. Da, 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 da. Ding, ding.
Are you not making a turn?
Ellen's going straight north.
Okay.
On the far west side.
Oh,
but
you're getting close to a potential shortcut. you can take the alley.
But it's got some turns, and turns come with risk.
Yeah. It saves you exactly no time.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh,
I think
well.
I just drew it in a way that it actually, no, it doesn't save you any time.
Oh, well, all right. Never mind then.
I didn't know about the turn mechanic when I drew it. So. That's fair. Here, you know what? Let's say there's one dot there just so you can try it.
Didn't you read the design document?
Okay, I'm going to do my roll.
Yeah.
4.
Hey, what the heck is with this guy?
All right, so 1, and then you're going to make your turn.
All right, I do. All right. Roll a D6. Can I borrow that?
Yep.
You have a whole bag of them right there.
I know, but I got to open it.
Yeah. Roll a 1. Roll a 1. Roll a 1.
No. Oh, 6.
What is happening on that side of the table?
I'm going to play Baldur's Gate 3 and roll all 1s next. Okay.
So now you have three more to go,
yeah.
That's actually kind of tricky to remember. I mean, you've got the other die, I guess, at hand, but you have to then check, what did I roll again? Because you...
To remember.
Yeah, that's a little bit fiddly, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Because there's not a ton of ways we can avoid that entirely. The whole point is to stuff to happen in the middle of your turn, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and if our movement die aren't that big, then it's not much to hold in your head.
It's also an argument that we've already done it, which is your movement die and the check die are different dice.
Yes, exactly. So. I think we intuited that from the beginning.
I would say lucked into it, but okay. I got 4. I'm going to 1, 2, 3, and I'm at the end. I'm at the full north side. I'm going to take a right here, and that's a turn, so I got to check against that. So let's not roll a 1. I did not roll a 1, so I'm still good. And I get 1 more. So I'm like 1 space away from
you. You're almost.
Whoa!
There.
Yeah.
But that's really just because I took the path.
I blinked. What happened?
He took the path that he happened to draw, being the fact.
And that I totally hid from the two of you before we started. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was available for you to take.
Yeah,
I was drawing it in the open.
This was what's good for this prototype. Yeah. We all made an effort to not analyze the map, which is good.
But
that meant is that we all did take different paths.
Yeah.
Well, which the question is I don't know if that would necessarily happen. Partly because we realized the risk of the turning fall is so low, even on the penny farthing.
You might want to make different determinations based off of the course in your stats of the bike, right?
Yes, and I think because we only have the one obstacle and it's very weak,
I actually think
it does bear out that having more unknowns will be good because you'll be making different risks. I think different players will, even though we're not seeing it right now.
I got a 4.
Nice.
I get to make a turn.
So let's, for the sake of, let's say there's just one dot in the middle of this shortcut, just so it does save you a dot. So you now can have a question. Do you want to make 2 turns to save 1 dot?
Oh,
one space?
It's very likely you will get past it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's two die rolls. So,
I made 1. I'm going to make my turn. Mm-hmm. So I made 1 of the 4.
You do your check.
My check is going to be good.
All right. Then 1 more in the middle of that path.
And then 2. 3, another turn.
Yep.
Good. Make it, and 4.
Yep.
And I'll have to make another turn at the beginning of my next one.
Right.
So the orientation of your bike, little guy, is going to matter.
Yeah. This is you stopped on an intersection like I did previously. Mm-hmm. So there's an opportunity for you to make this, because our pieces are pointing in a certain direction. We didn't plan for that,
mm-hmm.
but they do point somewhere. So you could now determine to turn. And do the check now instead of later.
Well, but I think if I missed it, then the penalty would apply to my next turn.
I suppose so. Yeah. Right. I guess I don't know what the penalty is.
We haven't decided yet.
Okay, cool.
Because we haven't lost a roll yet.
All right. Right.
Oh, I was just thinking you end your turn there. That's what my thought was.
Oh, because
you
get
have
wobbly.
To like really slow down.
You have to get you get wobbly and you have to like reset yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my thought. But
case it would be you'd get a free turn then at the beginning because it doesn't. Oh, I see you.
I don't know if it's a good way of doing it. That was just what I was imagining.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm really hung up on this.
Yeah, I think I make the turn at the beginning. If you end your turn at an intersection, you make the roll for the turn at the beginning of your next turn, your next action.
I guess what I'm arguing is that you would just not make the roll at all because you stopped and started. So there's no need to check.
Yeah.
So that would also introduce some strategy because you'd say like, oh, I'm rolling a 3. That's going to get me as far as this intersection. Well, I know I have to make a couple of turns. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
it's another strategy.
Even though it's a slower path, I'll stop here. And that's also when you're actually on your bike. When you do stop, you are thinking about it's that. An opportunity for you to decide to turn or not.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Actually, I like that a lot. I have done some road biking in the recent past, and yeah. I tried the clip-in pedals, mm-hmm. and for sure, I am most tippy when I am going slowest.
Yeah, yeah.
So that it was an interesting thing that you might be able to, like, you might have that as a modifier on some bikes in the future.
I like that a lot. That yeah. The stability is speed. If you're going, if you roll a high. Because mm-hmm. Our speed variable isn't doing much for us, but maybe speed could just be that your die roll, and that if you roll a high die roll, then that means that your stability is lower, or your stability is higher.
Yeah, yeah, or something like that. Yes. Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, okay. There's something to play
all
with.
All that's to play with. That's very cool.
Point being is I'm not gonna roll for the turn.
Right.
Okay. Not that it matters, because you're about to win this route.
whose turn is it?
Yours.
Oh, okay. Well, this is going to be the seven that I need to win. So.
Yeah.
Three. Wow.
One, two, three.
Oh, if I got a four, I actually would have won.
Actually, that's true. Yeah. You were one away. I do enjoy beating Steven at a game that we just invented and is not fair.
Yeah.
Because he treats it as if it was fair and that he did lose.
Yeah. It sucks. And you rolled a four.
I rolled a four.
Insult.
Which means I overshot the goal.
You could just do like a lap.
A pursuit.
Yeah.
You could just do a lap.
Oh, I could. Yeah. Yeah. You could go all the way around the building.
Great. Cool. Oh, gosh.
So I know that we're probably closing in on the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And we did play the game, and it is fun, and it is super not finished.
Yeah. Needs more work. That's fine.
Like a lot of work. Like, but it sounds...
That's what happens when you're trying to make a board game.
Yeah, it does. And it honestly, it's a pretty cool idea. Like, I really want to make this. I know we end every episode with a jam where we're like, we should make this.
It is really interesting because, like, I can definitely see the potential of, like, all the different bikes and really having to, like, determine your path.
Yeah.
I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, I think the loop of it is fun. Mm-hmm. The turns can still be fast.
Yeah.
There can be a bunch of unknowns. And we didn't really get to play with it. But I like the idea of the moving through time
mm-hmm.
that you proposed, the flip book, or the many, you know, in a booklet. I think that would be really, really fun. And if I think, I mean, we went through this quick because we don't have all the mechanics in place. And so this mission would take a lot longer. But I would say this is about the right size of map.
Yeah.
Actually, it might be a little bit. We went corner to corner. Mm-hmm. So you might want to make it a little bit bigger. So you don't have to start at the corners each time.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And the time of a round is pretty good, and you would just do a bunch of rounds.
Yeah.
And that will also give you an opportunity to have, like, want a longer game? Go 10 rounds. Only move 15 years between rounds instead of 50.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I think maybe one way to think about it is, yeah, I mean, like, you could just keep making more maps.
Yeah.
As long as you have, like, a good framework for shaping the difficulty and the plan of each map.
Yeah.
And an idea for what changes in the different eras. You could just keep making more maps.
Right. And some maps could be very, they can have, so yeah, you have the core loop down and the different things that would stop or slow you down. And then what really changes it is the map and the task and where all the rules interact with.
Yeah.
So you have lots of opportunities for different play styles being advantageous, which is the kind of thing I like in games where you are forced to think on your feet and not just rely on a standard meta. So that's exciting.
I like that too.
I'm really looking forward to this game coming out, because then you can just see all these fancy art of all the different bikes, and I just really want to see the bike with the wheel on the back. Honestly,
yeah,
satisfying just to see it. I want to see the illustration.
Yeah.
This seems like one that would actually be really good to prototype in Tabletop Simulator.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, because the physicality isn't as relevant as some other types of games are. So
true.
So the deficiency of the Tabletop Simulator would not poison the playtest as badly as it might in other games.
Yeah, I mean, like, you have I think having the physical map and moving your little piece around is actually, like, probably a pretty cool part of Tabletop Simulator in there. But the real thing that needs management is the numbers. And that would make that they, you know, the systems in Tabletop are good for that.
Mm-hmm.
Good enough, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. It'd be so much fun to make this game.
We are so slammed with other things.
I think at the end of every Nice Games Jam, we do sometimes leave the listener with, like, a, this would be really cool if we have time or whatever. But I think it's, we, I think we just, we are need to be more honest with ourselves that, like, no matter how excited we get.
Oh, yeah.
At least at this time in all of our careers.
At least at this point.
But it gets sadder and sadder every time.
Oh, don't think of it that way.
Because we're building this library of things that would be great.
Dang. Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
I think of it, I'm trying to think of it differently, which is it's like we come up with some pretty awesome ideas in an hour or however long it's been. It's been more than an hour.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah. And that's cool.
That is true.
That is cool. And the nice thing is it's all recorded. So if we do have time to come back to it, we can.
Yeah. I mean, if there's ever if we ever have a spare moment, we have a collection to choose from. No dearth of options.
We're all going to retire at some point, right? So.
So.
Speak for yourself.
That's our show. We post show notes and such on our website, nicegames.club. Go there to find the rules of the game we made today. I tried to put the rules in as best as I can, but they're not great. Hopefully they're better by the time we edit this. Visit us on social media at Nice Games Club, where Dale posts about game dev resources and how good Clever Code is. Spoiler alert, it's not very good. Reply on the various platforms or email us, contact@nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. And if you want to keep things more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello and tell me why I'm wrong. Next week, we'll be looking at familiarity and pacing mechanics. But that's it for this week.
So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.